Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to talk to you about the emphasis and some of the main points of Luke chapter 2, which we know is part of what we call the Christmas account of the coming of Jesus and being born and being presented at the temple, and all of a sudden his incarnated life and him coming, leaving the Father above and taking on flesh, the incarnate Christ, and living in a human body for a time. And this is the beginning of that account, and near the beginning of that account. So Luke chapter 2, verse 22, it says this: "And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." Now, that's probably some complicated talk for us, because predominantly, we are Gentiles who have been adopted and grafted in through faith in Christ. He has made salvation available to us. And we live in a different time and certainly a different culture. And we didn't grow up in with Jewish tradition and Jewish law. And so when you hear things like this, it's like, I'm not sure what all of that means. I'll just let you know that back in the book of the law, the book of Leviticus, okay, there is law and instruction given for a woman who gives birth and the purification process for her. And part of that process changed in what they do, whether they gave birth to a daughter or they give birth to a son. And how all of that plays out. If you're real interested, you can go back and read in Leviticus chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. We'll tell you some of this stuff. And when I say stuff, it's not belittling the laws of God, Mosaic law, but the things that they had to go through. And you might say, wow, that's amazing. And wow, I'm glad I didn't have to do all of that. Yeah. Because there was demands with it, and there was social effect, and there was physical effect, and certainly spiritual effect. But these were the laws. And they're important because Joseph is Jewish, the earthly father of Jesus, not biological, but certainly an earthly father to Jesus. And Mary, this righteous Jewish young woman who's betrothed. And so you will see that part of this chapter and emphasis isn't just like we read about it and say, well, this is how Jesus' early days were, and he was born, and this is what they went through. But there is a message in this that talks about, I'm going to use the word pious. Now, for you and I, pious has probably more of a negative connotation. So when I say pious devotion, you and I might think that has to do with a lot of self-righteousness and arrogant people who think they're all pious and better than everyone else. That is one type of definition for pious. The other is a very positive term in the sense of pious. Pious means that as a person who is living right and upright and doing things and choosing to do things that are right and pleasing according to some standard, in this case, the standard of God's law. So why don't you say this with me? Pious devotion. Yeah. So remove the negative connotation definition from that and understand what that means. In that it's a choosing to do right according to the standard, in this context, certainly the standard of God and the laws of God's people, which we find from the Old Testament. So, for Mary and Joseph, but Mary, and for Jesus, there were some very rightful and Jewish laws, Mosaic laws, Moses, that give them instruction of what they are supposed to do. Now, you and I know, and I'll mention this probably again in the message, but you and I know that we can go through the motion, right? We can go through the motions of what looks good and what looks right, but our heart is not in it. The type of pious devotion that God responds to is not just carrying something out because this is the way I was raised, or this is what I was taught, and so my outward expression is to live by the rules and do the checklist and make this look like I'm doing what's right because on the outward it looks right. But God doesn't look just on the outward. Where does he look? He looks upon the heart. See, he can see your heart and mine. Turn to somebody and say, God sees it all. He sees it all. Yeah, he sees it all, okay? And don't let that scare, by the way, don't let that scare you. I mean, it does when we think about, oh, these are the things I know about me. That does scare us a little bit, but I want you to know there's a great security in it. Well, understand, there's a security in this. Even when we know that there are things there that are wrong that he sees, it's a secure, listen, it's a security for you and I that he knows this because now we can have this conversation with him and we don't have to try to hide something and go through all those hoops, right? And that he knows it, he's willing to sit with you, sit with me, converse about this, and let you know how he can solve this and how he gives us instruction to follow along so that that is no longer a weight that besets us or an issue in our life. That's the beauty of God seeing it all. Okay? So, Mary and Joseph, they follow these instructions. It was the way that they were raised and that they are Jewish, but they are choosing to have pious devotion. But watch this. It's not just going through the motions for them, just like what God is looking from us. We are going to go through some motions, but they are not empty for this reason. They are not void of what we in our heart believe and have faith to do. That's the difference. The motions will not save us, but a heart of faith will in Christ. And as a result of having a heart of faith in Jesus Christ, it now propels us into a responsibility and a motivation to do the things that are right. Our faith proves what we believe. If we say we have faith and no works, our faith is dead. If we have works only, but no heart of faith, where we're just going through the motions, those works are dead. They will never save you and I. We can't show up on the last moment and say, let me read you my resume of all the things I did. He looks upon the heart. For some, there won't be time to gather righteous living like the thief on the cross next to Jesus, right? But he expressed faith. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. That man had no log of right living. No log, no resume. And that goes to show us that we are saved by God's grace through faith, not works that we can boast about saying, I'm good enough, let me in. If someone is telling you that you only go to heaven by good works, and if you have more good works than bad works or sin, then you get to go. I want you to know that's false teaching, a false gospel, and it is what Paul gave his life for and what he wrote for. Is the truth of God's grace and mercy upon our life, and that we get to apply it by expressing faith in him, and salvation comes to us. And from that point, now we start to do good things with motivated with faith in Christ that's behind it. And then we see the beauty of faith and works traveling together as interlocked companions, bringing about the fruit of God's character, His nature, and His work in us and through us here on earth that will lead us home. The two or three that said amen, God bless you. The rest of you, you try to repeat that. Listen, that's the truth of the good news of the gospel. So here is Mary and Joseph and the infant Jesus within their first about 40 days, okay? We know that Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day. Mary has, from this point of presenting Jesus at the temple, she has about 33 more days of purification to go through. And so this is where we jump into this historical account and one of the emphasis of what Luke writes in this part of his letter is this beauty of pious devotion that is moved and expressed because of faith, not because of just tradition and because this is a law. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. There's some significant things that have to happen, okay? And you'll pick these up. One is the purification. The other is the presenting of the child, in this case a son, the presenting of Jesus, what every family who had some measure of piety, either by faith or by tradition. This is what they went through. The purification laws from Leviticus chapter 12 that we find, the presenting of their child at the temple to the priest, this case Jesus, the presenting him to God. And there's a piece here that talks about the scripture that says, every male child is supposed to be consecrated unto the Lord. I'll talk about that in a moment. And then that they are supposed to bring an offering, okay? An offering to the Lord. One is for sin, and the other is a burnt offering, okay? And that's part of this process. So let's read on here. It is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. First male child to open the womb of a woman, she gives birth to this child, to this man child, according to the law of the Lord, okay? They're to also bring an offering, a sacrifice, to according to the law. They can bring a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. It's part of the same story here. Now Simeon, he will have been the priest who was there at the temple when Mary and Joseph bring Jesus and following the law, their pious devotion, their faith, to present Jesus to God, their son. So this is what happens. Now there was a man, righteous and devout. Say righteous and devout. Pious devotion. You didn't have to say that part, but I'm glad you did. You can stop repeating me now for a little while. That would get very confusing and monotonous in here. Okay. So Simeon, the priest, he was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit, watch this, the Holy Spirit was upon him, upon Simeon. Holy Spirit was upon this righteous and devout man. Very important. We're going to come back to that later. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's upon him, and now the Holy Spirit is revealing something to him. And this is what he reveals, that Simeon would not see death before he would see the Lord Jesus Christ. So here it is, all of this coming together. There were more priests than one at this temple. And Simeon is there that day. And Joseph and Mary come that day and present Jesus to God. And the priest helps with this consecration. And it's Simeon. Behold. Behold. Pious devotion matters. And the role of the Holy Spirit to do this work in the life of people, you and I, and to bring about the place where they would, you know, meet, that intersection of life where things come together. And then in that moment, there is the fulfillment of the prophecy or the promise from God to Simeon, the promises of God for each you. The moment where that they intersect and the Holy Spirit is involved. So there's Simeon, and he's about to consecrate and give Jesus to God. And it says, and he came in the Spirit into the temple. Simeon. I don't know if he was scheduled that day. They had a work schedule. But it says by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, to come to the temple that day. Look at the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of people. The devotion of people who do things because of faith in the Lord. The Spirit comes upon them. The Spirit reveals to them, and the Spirit moves them. That's supposed to be our life. It's available to you. It might sound so foreign to you, like I've never heard that, or I don't even know how that comes together or what that even means. I want you to know that's what God has for you. Come on, tell somebody next to you. It is what God has for you. Say it to each other. Now listen, we focus on saying, when I say this to somebody, but I don't want you to miss the other half of this to make it fruitful. We also need to hear it from them. You need to hear it from them. We focus on saying it. Will you say it again, but focus on the hearing of it from them? Go ahead, go. The Lord has this for you. Focus on the hearing part. The Lord has this for you. You were told, and I'm glad you were, you know, reminded of what to say, because your memory was very short. What was it I was supposed to say to you again? Focus on the hearing. This is what the Lord has for you. For a Spirit to be upon you, for a Spirit to reveal to you, and for you to be moved and led by His Spirit. And it had been revealed to him, Simeon, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Jesus. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your promise, your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to the people Israel. I'll stop reading there. You can read all of Luke 2 at your own time. So here is this beautiful emphasis in Luke chapter 2 about the conceiving and the birth of Jesus and then presenting him at the temple. One of the emphasis of this chapter, it's not just about the historical account. It's the emphasis that Luke, the doctor, the writer of this, inspired by the Spirit, puts an emphasis on. This is the kind of things that happen for people who are of pious devotion, who are people motivated to do the pious things in devotion because of faith. Once again, we're not saved by our works. We're saved by faith, but our faith is proved by what we do. But God sees the heart. The outward motion can look the same between people, but the one who has faith, that is the faith that will lead them home. That faith, if God gives us human life, that faith should produce a resume of the things we did that were right in His sight. The things that we did in faith, overcoming our flesh and human thought and our own scheming. That faith in Jesus, that grace will lead us home. Interesting thing here about some of this is this whole idea that every male child should be consecrated. Understand, in all the tribes of Israel, the plan that God put in motion is that the firstborn male of every Jewish family, no matter what tribe you're from, the 12 tribes, it doesn't matter, that the firstborn male was to be consecrated and brought to the temple and would to be committed to God. And then as the child would grow, they would grow up, and part of that would happen in the temple, and they would be trained, and every firstborn male of every tribe was set apart to become a priest. What happened, if you go back in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, you will see some of this, is... I meant Exodus. You will see, it's also in Numbers 3 and in 18 where you get the, there's just a lot of references here. But just so you know, I'm speaking from the scripture in the Old Testament. So Numbers 3 and 18, but also in the book of Exodus, and you'll see it in 13 and 24, is you will see, remember when Moses went up to the mountain, okay? And he was with God in the burning bush, and God was giving him the Ten Commandments, okay? And this will lead us into Exodus 20, where to list, but you'll see all of this. And so what happens is when Moses comes down with the tablets, because he was a while up there, what happened to God's people? Right? You saw the movie? I mean, you know, maybe you never read about it. I suggest you do in the book of Exodus. Well, where do I start? Chapter 1. He comes down, right? And he sees now that God's people got tired of waiting, and there were some bad voices among them, divisive, and leave God, and God wasn't faithful, and you're out in the wilderness, and Moses isn't coming back, and Moses isn't coming down. And so, you know, Aaron gets deceived and fooled and pressured into building an idol. What was it? The golden calf. Yes. And the people gave their gold, and Aaron, he made this image, this graven image. And the people were riotous and doing very sinful thing, except for one tribe. Yeah, two of you are whispering the answers. You theologians, you. The Levites. And from that point on, it changed from every firstborn male of any tribe to be consecrated and to be a priest of God, set apart. Now, because of the sin, 11 tribes lost out, and the Levites had a new call, that every male child would be presented and consecrated because of their pious devotion in the past, that every Levite male would become a priest in the house of God. So here is Jesus being presented, being consecrated, and set apart to be a priest. Little did the world know that he is the great high priest from all time, who has made a way for us, who can consecrate us by his own blood to forgive us of our sins and set us apart as God's people in this life and into the next. And that we as Gentiles are grafted in. God is awfully nice to us. So this is what is packed into Luke chapter 2. That pious devotion, the pious devotion, okay, of Mary, the pious that she was chosen. God didn't go, He chose Mary. It's very distinct that it says she is a virgin. Virginity is one of the things that speaks of pious devotion and righteousness. She was a virgin, which we know is also very important because she conceives not of a man, but of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's upon her. The Holy Spirit reveals to her. The Holy Spirit moves her. Simeon, Spirit was upon him. The Spirit revealed to him. The Spirit moved him. Our life. It's the emphasis of, part of the emphasis of Luke chapter 2. And so you will see this setting apart of Jesus. They were supposed to bring an offering, and as they go through, it gives the options of the offering and bring a lamb and bring. But for those who didn't have that kind of resource, God says, if you don't have that kind of resource, you can't afford it, then you can bring two turtle doves or two pigeons. One is a sin offering and one is a burnt offering. And so they brought two turtle doves. Now Luke is not saying that Mary and Joseph have embraced poverty. It's what they chose to bring. The point is not what they brought. The point is that they brought it. It was the pious devotion. We are going to follow what is right according to what we now know as God in our lives and his law and standards, that by his help and by our faith, we would uphold them. The point is not their poverty. The point is that they had pious devotion. They chose to obey and to do these things. See, that's the part of the message of Luke 2 for you and I. It's not just the Christmas account. We can't miss the message of the passage that is about pious devotion. And it seems when we look at these people who had pious devotion, they are the ones where it seems that the Spirit came upon them. That the Spirit revealed to them. That the Spirit moved them. Catch this. Part of the message is that pious devotion, this devotion out of faith to God, to do what is right in his sight, regardless of society or anyone else's opinion, but according to the Word of God, that our devotion to him out of faith kind of forms this cup in which he pours his Spirit into. If there is no pious devotion, no cup that is formed by this faith, where is the Spirit supposed to pour into? See, you and I, he is meant to pour his Spirit upon all flesh, but to pour his Spirit into you, pour it out on all flesh, it is available. But for us to catch it, for us to take it in, there has to be this faith that is expressed, not just in sentiment, but this faith that is expressed that goes in addition to this faith that saves us. Is this faith now the responsible part of the faith? That we, through that devotion of our faith, it kind of forms this cup by which the Spirit pours into our life. If you want more of the Spirit of God in our life, it would seem to indicate in Dr. Luke's writing by the Holy Spirit is that our pious devotion in private and in public and just who we are, that it begins to develop this cup by which he now can pour his Spirit into. That his Spirit would be in you and upon you. That his Spirit would speak to you and reveal to you. And that his Spirit would lead you and you would be moved by his Spirit. These are the indications of people throughout the Scripture, but certainly in the coming of Jesus Christ in bodily form. The role of the Holy Spirit, this is what he does for devout people. Interesting thing, a word about devout. We see it here in Luke 2. The word devout really was not a word that was used in biblical literature, but you will see it happen in the early church. You will see where Luke uses it again in the book of Acts, and you will see an indication of the word or a form of the word in the book of Hebrews when it talks specifically about Jesus and Noah. You can go back and read about Noah and what kind of man he was and why God chose him, why God raised him up as a devout man. Luke and Matthew, those two Gospels, are very clear about righteousness. Hear this, righteousness being a desirable quality. A desirable quality. Righteousness is talked about throughout the Scripture, but in the New Testament, Matthew and Luke, you will see through those Gospels that righteousness is a theme, and along with it, it is attached to that is a desirable quality. We see it in Simeon. He was devout. We see that Mary had a righteousness about her. You'll see it in Zechariah, also a pious devotion, a heart that's not empty. See, we can do the right things that look like they form a basket, but if there is no faith in it, there will be no Spirit poured into it. It will just be empty devotion. Our devotion is meant to be partnered with the fullness of God's Spirit. Fullness of God's Spirit in your life, your day-to-day living, the mundane, the little things by being moved by His Spirit to do something or say something or to be somewhere, even if you don't know why, but you felt the prompting. Have you ever known it? Have you ever felt it? Have you ever just showed up somewhere? And this has happened to me. You're doing a daily task, a daily routine. You had to stop somewhere, for example. And as I'm getting there, and I stop there, and I'm going to go into wherever place this is, I feel this sense of God's Spirit that says, I'm bringing you here for more than the reason of you picking up eggs and milk. Now, you need the eggs and milk. But there's another reason I'm walking into this store today that is not of the earthly things, but is of the spiritual things. And sure enough, there's somebody, sometimes more than one. Thank God I wasn't in a hurry when I was in a hurry. what's more important? What's more important? So, you will see. You know, there's another lady who's mentioned in this passage. Her name is Anna. She's a prophetess. She had become a widow. I want you to listen to this in Luke chapter 2. Simeon is talking and talks about the many will fall and rise in Israel because of this who is born and a sign. And it goes on into verse 36, and it says, "And there was a prophetess Anna of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. Listen, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting." See, there were two designated, I mean, you could fast any time, but there were two designated days. It was, for you and I, it's called Monday and Thursday, spiritual discipline of fasting. And this is what she did every week for years, being devoted to the Lord and worshiping Him. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day, and coming up at the very hour that Jesus is being presented to the Lord by Simeon, the very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of Him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Here is this widow who for years came to the temple out of faith and devotion to worship the Lord, to seek Him, to fast and pray every Monday, Thursday. She fasted. She was at the temple constantly. See, this is why Jesus talks about this in chapter 18 of Luke. Okay? Chapter 18, listen to this. Remember when Jesus talks about this? He tells this story. He says, let me find the verse. Sorry about that. And he says, and he told them a story to effect that we ought to always pray and not lose heart. Now, well, watch this. That's what devout people do. They pray without losing heart. And those are the people that God pours His Spirit upon and reveals to them and moves them. Watch. In this story, he says, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor responded to man." We've probably met some people like that. "And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him. 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps pestering me, she keeps bothering me, she won't give up, she's devoted. So because she keeps doing this, I will give her justice, So that she will not keep beating me down by her continued coming. She is wearing me out.'" That's how we're supposed to pray. But now watch. And Jesus said this: "Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to His elect, those who are saved, who cry to Him day and night, those who are devoted? Will He delay long over? I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily." Say it. Fast. Fast. Really fast. Speedily. The request comes. In other words, the contrast is this. Those who are evil, who don't know God, they may not act fast. They might have to be worn down. They won't even give the right answer because of goodness. It's because they've been worn out. That's the evil judge. God is not an evil judge. He's a good judge. And He says that when you are devout and you come to Me, I will respond quickly. This is how we are supposed to pray and how he who we pray to, how he responds. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on earth. Will he find faith on earth? Our faith is expressed through devotion and continually worshiping God and seeking God and looking to him. Anna is that type of widow that Jesus talks about. It's like the story was about her, this parable. There's just this beautiful match between Anna, the widow, the prophetess there when Jesus is being consecrated to the Lord, who shows up. And this widow in what we see here in Luke, where he writes later in chapter 18, that she was there, she was faithful, she was devout, and it's her that God's poured his Spirit upon and revealed to her who this child was. And she went and talked about it. She was moved to go and spread the news. See, stand up with me. In this life, the third emphasis, one is pious devotion. The second is the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Thirdly, emphasis of Luke chapter 2, Jesus is born, right? It was prophesied about. It's been promised. God fulfills his promises. He backs up his word. This is the emphasis that Luke is writing us about in this historical account of what happened. It's not just a historical account saying, hey, I'm reading a history book. There's the emphasis that we cannot miss in the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. And that is that a righteous life matters. And there's a role of the Holy Spirit that his desire, his passion is to come upon you, to pour into you, to talk to you and to reveal to you and to move you, to lead you, to push you, to prompt you, to let you in on it. You look, this devotion and the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of these people that are in the account. Third thing is, he will fulfill his promise. It was prophesied, and Jesus came. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I want you to hear this, that we're saved by God's grace through faith, not by works. But when that salvation comes, our faith is expressed through responsibility. And I want you to know that God honors righteous devotion. That you and I no longer live like we used to. I said something earlier about Mary, about being a virgin, and not all of us in this room who are hear this message or are hearing it from somewhere else. Do we have a purity in our sexual history? Don't hang your head. The point is now, because of God's grace and mercy and your faith in him, that you and I no longer live like we used to. But now we live according to God and honor him in devotion, that we carry out our life in sexual purity. You could pick the moral topic, anyone you want. It's just one that was in the account today, in the passage today. You want God to pour into you? I want you to know sexual purity matters. Man or woman, married or unmarried. You see, God honors righteous devotion. I want your life to be so full of God's Spirit. I want your pious devotion, your life of right living. And we grow into that. But we choose, you know, each battle, each temptation, each breaking the what we were to becoming what God has now raised us up to be through faith in Him. You believe in Him, your past is washed away. His blood has the power, and you don't have to be guilty anymore. But live now in this righteousness. And I promise you that God will pour His Spirit upon you and into you. It will start to develop, that pious devotion will develop this reservoir, this container, your life, of importing your Spirit upon you and into you. All the secret things of the heart that nobody knows about, maybe not even your spouse, just the transformation, the living unto God. Righteous life matters. And remember that God sends His Spirit to guide you. Other people may not understand about the transformation and choices you're starting to make as you're following Him. It's okay. Don't worry about it. And He'll start to reveal to you. He'll start to speak to you. He will move you. And I want you to hear this. Third emphasis of Luke chapter 2 is God. He will fulfill His promise to you. Every promise. If He reveals to you and makes you a promise, He'll keep it. Not promises you make up in your mind that He said. No, no. The ones He reveals to you. And it's not based upon your righteousness of what He reveals, but there is a righteousness that sets the reservoir to be revealed to. He chooses what to reveal to you. You don't get to choose that. You can ask, but He will choose. So today and in the days to come, maybe this week, is begin to gauge. Monitor. Am I going through the motions? Am I relying on the motions to save me? That's problematic. Are my motions filled? Have they made a reservoir for the Spirit to pour into me? That He will talk to me and reveal to me. He will lead me. He will move me. That's why the scripture says the steps of the what? Righteous are ordered by the Lord. A devoted life matters, and the Holy Spirit will pour upon you. And I guarantee you, He will keep every promise. Let's bow our heads together. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, I've never put that personal faith in Jesus like that. But I'd like to. And I want to start that walk with Him. If that's you, I want to include you in a closing prayer. So I just want to know who I'm praying for. So while nobody else is looking around, would you just put your hand up and say, that's me. I need to ask Christ in my life like that. Thanks, friend. Anybody else? Bless you. Yes, see your hand too, sweetheart. Just let Him do that work in you. So sincere, so beautiful to you. I'm going to pray for you. But the rest of us, we need to gauge, we need to monitor, we need to do a spiritual life checkup. And I don't mean in 5 minutes, but I mean maybe a little each day here coming up. And just say, you know, do I live with a pious devotion? Not speaking a good game about how holy we are, but am I leading a life of devotion that God's Spirit could do more in my life? You see, the time is up. Make a decision. Who will you serve this day, right? Thank God for cell phones that go off, right? Hey, take this in today. Focused on hearing, not just the saying. That God would reveal, He talked to you. Open your heart to that work of faith, that growth, that ongoing growth. Take it to heart. Don't just look at it as the historical account of Jesus coming. See the emphasis of a devoted life, the role of the Holy Spirit, and that He's a promise keeper.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.